Amen. Amen. Praise God. How many of you believe in for the manifestation of God? You believe for His manifestation. Now, you know, when we say that, I don't want you to think we're being unthankful, because we've seen manifestation. I've seen manifestation. I've seen some wonderful things. But I want to tell you something. That's not it. You remember that old song? I used to hate to hear it come on. And I don't even remember who sang it, but somebody would come on and she'd sing, "Is that all there is? If that's all there is, then keep on dancing." And I thought, you know, that's not all there is in our God. You know what you've seen and what you've heard? It hadn't scratched the surface of His goodness. Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him, but He reveals them unto us by His Spirit. And I want you to know, I've got a heart and a spirit that just bursting, wanting to let the power and the presence of God out. Don't you? I want to see the power of God. I don't want anything to do with playing church. That's why, you know, when you come here, it's going to seem maybe kind of unorthodox and maybe even disorganized sometimes. Because I don't want everything planned. I don't want everything on performance level. Do you? We can perform. We could put on some great performances. Everything could be scripted. But I want to tell you, I think too much is still scripted. I said a couple weeks ago, I think it'd be great if we could just take all the chairs and just put them in a circle, or get rid of them. Let people sit on the floor. I'd never get up. Somebody'd have to help me. But you know, then the church starts to become what the Bible says. When you come together, one has a psalm. Another one has an exhortation. Another one has a teaching. One has a tongue. Another has an interpretation. Somebody gives a prophecy. And then the glory of God is free to move. You see, but what we do, so we just into a Western mindset and a habit, the church is supposed to be boring. It's fact. And that, you know, really, you know, even this place, and it's just a room, but every church that you see mostly is laid out after pagan temples rather than a house of God. The temple didn't look like this. And there is no temple that we go to worship to now, is there? Except the temple that's right here on the inside. And so what we want to do is just have you be so free. We put the, I guess it's on this side over here, this little thing that says the living room. And you should think of it that way. It's God's living room. If you came into God's living room and you sat down, you know, you can go into His house and He's got more than just a living room. And you could go into His kitchen. How is it when Bob comes to your house, Mary? Can you pretty well keep him under wraps, and you tell him, "Now you just stay over here and you don't move around too much in my house," right? No? You're probably that way though, aren't you, Bob? You probably just stay in one place, never. Well, I can tell you right now, if I ask my mom if I can get into the refrigerator and get something, it actually insults her. It's yours. You go get it. You go get it. Of course you can get in there. Go ahead. Anything I have is yours. And our Father in heaven is the same way. What I have is yours. What I have is yours. How many of you know that God loves you just as much as He loved Jesus? The Bible says it. I didn't say it. God loves you just as much as He loved His only begotten Son that He sent into the world. That was a proof of it. To die for you. So what we want to do is kind of get some new mindsets, and especially some new mindsets about the glory of God. It's not just one thing, you know. Sometimes when we talk glory, people get the idea, well, you know, if God just appeared in this place in a cloud, you know, that would be glory. Well, it would be. I'd welcome it, you know. It'd give me goosebumps, wouldn't you? But, you know, that's not the only way glory is. In fact, we look too much external. We need to start looking in here and see what starts coming up out of us as the Holy Spirit begins to speak. A few years back, a man talked to me. He said words to me, and I remember these words very clearly because at the time, you know, I've always known I have the anointing to teach. Teaching is my anointing. I love to teach. If you guys would stay longer, I'd stay longer. We could just teach because I like to teach. But this man spoke to me, and I've known him casually, but never in any ministry way other than me sitting under his ministry. And he laid his hands on me, and he said, I don't know you well, but he said, I see that there is a prophetic gift in you that you need to loose, you need to let go. So I remembered that, and I went to him, and I said, now, tell me what you saw in that. He says, I don't know. He says, I've never known exactly how the prophetic gift is supposed to operate. And you know what? I don't know either, but I know it's real. One thing I do know is that the way we have branded things and said this is a prophet, some of them are nothing but criticizers. We don't need criticizers in the body of Christ. Did you know that? Have you ever been around someone that they just have all the answers and everybody else is wrong? I don't like that because I don't have all the answers. And what I do get, it has to come from Him. And I want to recognize that. So, you know, I'm praying that the prophetic glory will begin to show up more and more and more. Amen? Amen. There's all kinds of glory. There's a lot of different kinds of glory. And here's really where it comes from. And we're going to start back where we've been for several weeks now. We've been talking about this. And this week I want you to think of what we're doing here as preparation for manifestation. Say preparation for manifestation. And that means if we can get ready, I believe that's all God's waiting on us. I don't believe His glory is something that He's sitting up there saying, well, not giving this out. Boy, this is good stuff. I'm keeping this right here. No, He wants thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John 14, verse 15, I'm just going to read just a section of it, but we'll put the whole thing on the screen. This, what I'm reading to you is from the Amplified Bible. But it says, as part of that verse, if you really, now this is Amplified, remember, if you really love me, if you really love me, keep and obey my commandments. And we talked a little bit about the love that we have for God. And, you know, I want all of you to look inside, just look at yourself today and say, do I really, really love God? Remember the story I told you about how I used to think about Henrietta after our dates? She was on my mind. You know what I'm saying? She was on my mind. So much so that I could smell her perfume the next day while I was driving the tractor. And you know you can't smell perfume on a tractor. You smell diesel smoke, diesel fumes. But I could smell her because I loved her. And see, there was something about her that kept her on my mind. And you know, if you think about it in that way now, loving God, are you thinking about Him? Is He on your mind? Is he in the middle of your thoughts? Is he the motivation for why you're doing what you do? Is He the reason that you live? Because the Bible says in Him we live and move and have our being. And you know, it's evident that we don't always, much of the time, we don't really love Him in that way, do we? Because other things occupy. And we say, yes, but the Lord knows the way I am. He knows. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a place. Say there's a place. There is a place in our relationship with Him where we can keep Him near, where we can keep Him in our thoughts. The Bible says He's in you. The Bible says He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He said, Jesus said, I will abide with you forever. He said, I wouldn't leave you as orphans here on this earth. You don't have to go through this life just wondering, well, is this the Lord's will or is that the Lord's will? Should I go this way or will I go that way? I don't know. I just have to make an educated guess. No. He said, I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you a comforter. Another one like me. And He will abide with you forever. And he will, what? He will teach you all things. Somebody said, oh yeah, when I read the Bible, I ask him to do that. Well, now wait a second. Is that all your relationship is? Do you read the Bible all the time? No. You need to have him teaching you as you're walking, as you're doing, as you're functioning in life, while you're washing your dishes, while you're combing your hair. Teach me, Lord. Teach me things. Some of the best stuff I get in the shower. Some of the best stuff I get, I'm driving the car. Just be driving the car by myself and the Holy Spirit starts to speak to me. Good stuff. That's why I don't always put the radio on. That's why I don't always want a tape going. I want to be able to hear the Holy Spirit talk to me. If you really love me, then you'll keep and obey my commandments. You'll keep them. Are you under the law? Are you under the law? Well, let's qualify that for a second. If the law has been mistranslated, and it has, the word Torah doesn't just mean law. It has laws in it. And the word Torah really means teaching and instruction. Then let me ask you this, are you under his teaching and instruction? You don't mind saying that at all. Now here's the problem. Some people get to a place where the law becomes so important that the doing of the law takes the place of what Jesus did. And that can never be. Jesus died for our sins. Other than that, you couldn't be saved. Because I guarantee, you know, I can say, I've never said anything with more certainty than this. None of you have kept the law. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely through His grace by the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. So, is it wrong to keep His commandments? Of course not. It's not wrong to be under the Torah of God, under the teaching and instruction. If you really want to get an understanding of it, you go to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, where it says in the second verse, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, that law, of course, He's taken care of, the law of sin and death. Perfectly. But listen, there is a law that you can keep. Part of that law is, love me with all of your heart, with all of your being, and with all of your resources. Is that a little commandment? Some people, you know, try to take love and plug it in and say, oh yes, but now we don't have to do anything, we just have to love. Well, I'll tell you something, love's big. Love's big. You can't love without God. The love of God has to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you, or you can't love the way God wants you to. And you sure can't love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's big. Huge. But Jesus didn't even leave it alone and let it be there. He said, no, you not only have to love them as you love yourself, you've got to love them as I loved you. And I got to tell you, that makes it tough. Because then I know I can't do it in and of myself at all, right? I got to love as He loves. So here again, He says, He that hath my commandments, John 14:21. He that hath my commandments. Well, we have them because He gave them to us and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Amplified Bible says, I will let myself be clearly seen by him. How many of you would say, that's what I'd like? Wouldn't you like that? Brother Hagin tells a story about getting ready for a ministry meeting one time, laying on the bed, praying. And he said, Jesus walked right up to the foot of my bed and stood there. And he said, I'm looking up and seeing him. Of course, you know what he did. He scrambled out of that bed and began to talk to him. And the Lord talked to him for some time. Talked to him. Would you like that? Is there anybody here who said, oh man, I don't believe in any of those vision things. I don't want any of that stuff. You know, We desire those kind of things, and that's good. You should. But I want to tell you something. He wants to let himself be clearly seen of you, even without vision. Even without a vision. He says, I'll let myself be clearly seen by him, and I'll make myself real to him. Real. Real. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That would be real, wouldn't it? Someone that's just right there all the time, never lets you go. You remember when, we've talked about this too, but you remember, folks, all of you that have heard this a number of times, Colleen one time when she was a little girl was sitting in one of my services and her mom had to kind of chasten her a little bit and said, Colleen, sit up and pay attention. Your dad's speaking. And she says, yes, but Mom, I've heard this several thousand times. And I know some of the congregation here may think you've heard some of these things several thousand times. One of these days it's going to hit you with revelation and you're going to say, that's the first time I ever heard that. But we talked about John 11. Lazarus had died. Lazarus was lying in a tomb. And in the 39th verse, Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, but by this time he stinks. Lord, he stinks. He stinks. He's been dead 4 days. How many of you know you don't have to be dead to stink? And that's not to be funny, but think about it a little bit. Is there a stink that's worse than the stink of death? Not in the natural, probably, but I'll tell you what. There is a stink when your thinking stinks. Zig Ziglar, I think, he either borrowed it or made it up. Stinking thinking. And there's a lot of people around with stinking thinking. The thought is that, you know, if someone's been dead 4 days, God can't do anything about it. That's stinking thinking, isn't it? Do any of you do like I do when you go to a funeral? You ask the Lord, is this the one? Is this one that's going to come out of the casket, Lord? Do you ever do that? Do you want to be put on the spot like that? How many of you would be willing to be on the spot? Walk into a funeral and have the Lord say to you, I want this man to rise up, go talk to him. How many of you would be willing? Well, see, I'm telling you why you're not, because I can tell right now there's nobody here ready to volunteer. But I want to tell you, we do these things in steps. We prepare for them in steps. And what we're doing here is preparing ourselves for the glory of God. I've seen the dead rise twice. And both times it happened right in front of me and I didn't feel like I had much time to think. One time it was speak fast or see Henrietta leave. We've not talked about it a lot, but I watched her die in the car one night while we were traveling. I saw the glory of God, but you know, it wasn't, there was no time to stop. I grabbed her and laid her on the ground and I said, no! In the name of Jesus! And I watched her come back. There was another fellow with me, and the first thing he said to me is, she's gone. She's gone. Well, I'll tell you, when you see glory like that, that's great. But I'm talking about sometime. You're going to walk someplace and the Lord... You see, Jesus was walking along the street one day, and a funeral procession came by. He's walking with his disciples, and they're walking along minding their business. I'm sure the disciples went over to the side, took their kippahs off, you know. They don't do that. Israel, but you understand what I'm saying. But Jesus, he gets right in the middle of things. Walks right out to the bier. Walks right out. Calls the young man back. It wasn't impossible. See, it wasn't impossible. There shall be nothing impossible with God. You know, there's situations and circumstances in your life today that are, you know, you think it's beyond repair, but I'm telling you what, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. All stinking isn't the stench of physical death. Here's what Jesus said. She says, "Oh Lord, he's been dead, he stinks, it's been 4 days. It's too late now." Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" See it? If you what?
Believe.
If you what?
Believe.
Well, what does believing look like? What do you look like when you're believing? Bob knows. Bob knows how to believe. A few years back, the doctor told Bob, "Get your house in order, Bob." How many years have it been now?
About six years.
"Get your house in order, Bob." Bob says, "Well, wait a second. What are we going to do for this cancer that's on the base of my tongue? What are we going to do?" Doctor says, "You don't understand, Bob. Nothing can be done. Get your house in order." But Bob believed. You want to know how I knew Bob believed? How do I know you believe, Bob?
He said
what he believed. He said it with his mouth. He didn't stop for a second. He walked up to me and said, "The doctor told me it's stage four. There's no hope." He said, "But I want you to know I'm healed. I want you to know I'll live and I won't die. I want you to know." And he did. There he is, 6 years later. Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. We've seen the glory of God in this church. I said, we've seen the glory of God in this church. Three people, because Bob was wrapped in the tallit too. But I just have to tell you, that was just, he was healed before we ever wrapped him. But two people came in here with cancer that we wrapped in the tallit, and they're free of cancer today. God is a healing God. God is a miraculous God. In stage four, what does that mean to God? Stage four. God says, stage four. Watch that cancer go when I speak to it. What is cancer?
A word.
Actually, it's a name, isn't it? It's just a name. It's a name, right? Is cancer a name? Are the things that are attacking you just a name? Diabetes is a name. Who's got a name above all names? The name above all names can set you free. We're looking for the glory of God. He said, if you love me, I'll make myself clearly seen to you. See, we've seen those things. And you say, well, isn't that enough? Pastor, haven't you seen enough? You've told us you were healed of cancer in 1967. Yep, that was enough for then. But that's not enough for now. My manna comes every day. How about yours? I need manna coming every day. The glory of God. Say glory. Glory of God. Did God say that if we would believe, we'd see the glory of God? How many of you have been believing for it? How many of you, is that part of your confession? See, I confess, for a long time, I'd confess a lot of confessions. I'd go through the confessions on the wall here. Yahweh is our righteousness, and I would praise Him and thank Him that He is our righteousness. Yahweh is the one who sanctifies. I thank Him that I sanctified. I thank Him that He's my shalom. I thank Him for His presence. I get responses like that all the time. Yahweh is our healer, our provider, our banner. He's the shepherd. But you know what? I hadn't ever, for a long time, I just hadn't been putting that. I mean, I occasionally would say, "Oh Lord, let your glory be seen." But I'm talking about regularly believing and confessing for the glory of God. I want to see the glory. God promises in His Word that He's going to let His glory be seen in all the earth. In Habakkuk 2, it tells us that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Man, that's a lot of glory, isn't it? I mean, it's great glory, is what it is. Did God say, if we believe and obey, we'll see the glory of God? Did He? Isn't that what He said? Well, here's what I believe about faith. Faith, when it's really faith, prepares. It gets ready. It gets ready. I know a minister, an evangelistic organization, he was believing for an airplane. He was believing for this airplane, and he had been praying for it for quite a while, and all of a sudden one day the Lord said, "Are you really believing for it?" "Yeah." And he said, "Where are you going to put it?" Well, I don't know. "How are you going to handle it once you get it?" Here's what the man did. He went out and rented a hangar space. He bought this was apparently a Citation, bought what he needs to move the thing around with. What do they have, a truck or a dolly or something like that they move them with? He bought that. He prepared. Sometimes, you know, you start praying for things, you're not ready for it at all. I was walking around town here one day, and I was claiming this. I had a place, and I was just walking, and I said, "Lord, you said where the soles of my feet set, I've given it to you." And I was walking around. You wouldn't believe some of the places I walked around. And the Lord showed me I wasn't ready to receive them at all. At all. I wouldn't be able to handle them if they came to me right now. Some things you ask for, you're not ready for. And I'm wondering about the glory. I wonder if some of you would be uncomfortable in the glory of God, in the great manifestation. Would you be comfortable if you walked into a church one day, you got in there, and just about as soon as you hit the back door, the next thing you knew, you hit the floor? Would you be comfortable with that? The presence of God was so powerful in the place that you couldn't move. You were just stuck to the floor there for the whole service. You went out of the place after it was all lifted and went out of there, and people say, "Where you been?" "I've been to church." "Well, what happened?" "I don't know." "It was good, but I don't know what happened." Well, see, the Bible says when the glory of the Lord appears, sometimes the priests can't minister. In fact, there's times when the priests should not minister. There's time when preachers, prophets, teachers should be quiet. That's when the glory is in manifestation. I'm ready for it. We need to get ready, though. Stay ready. How many of you get ready for Passover? Most of us, you know, you sit in a Christian church and somebody says, "Are you getting ready for Passover?" People look at them like, "Passover?" Well, yeah, but are you getting ready for Sukkot? Have you built your sukkah yet? Well, see, if you were a messianic believer, those would be big events in your life. Big, big events. Now, if I were to say, how many of you know what it is to get ready for Christmas? Most Christian people say, "Oh, yeah, woo, Christmas." Did you know Christmas not even a commanded holiday? Well, we keep it like it's commanded. But I can tell you right now, in a Jewish home, they get ready for Passover. And they, when I say get ready, I mean they prepare. They go around with a feather looking for bits of leaven, yeast, sweep it all out of their house. That's where spring housekeeping came from. The spring house cleaning came because it happens at Passover time. They prepare. But think of yourself. How were you when you were younger? Did you get ready for Christmas? When I'm talking ready, I don't mean necessarily doing things, but preparation in your mind, thinking about it, anticipating. Did any of you do that? Do any of you still do that? It's all right. Get ready. How many of you know who Betty Baxter is? Any of you ever hear of Betty Baxter? Well, Betty Baxter was a girl born, I guess, probably in the 20s. And she had curvature of the spine and had knots all over her body, even as a little girl. From the time she was just tiny, she was practically paralyzed. And these knots kept growing and getting harder and harder and harder. And Betty had been prayed for many, many times. Her folks were Nazarenes. And they believed in healing, and they prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her. Betty eventually became a Pentecostal believer, but Betty was told that she should just get ready to die because she just couldn't live much longer because her body was so bad that her organs were starting to fail. She was 15 years old in 1941, and her four-year-old brother and she were the same height. And she had prayed, and one day the Lord spoke to her, and he said, "Betty, I'm going to heal you in the fall." And she waited and waited, and she wasn't sure. Of course, it was August, you know, already the early part of August. And she was believing. And finally, the Lord came back to her again and he says, Betty, I'm going to heal you at 3 p.m. on August 24th, 1941. But he says, I don't want you to tell anybody about it. And she says, how can I keep this quiet? Well, God, maybe you could say, has a sense of humor, or he just was building her faith even more. Because a couple days later, her mother came to her and said, Betty, do you know when you're going to be healed? And Betty said, why do you ask? Because she knew she wasn't supposed to tell. She says, because Betty, on August 24th at 3 p.m., you're going to be healed. She says, how do you know that? She says, God came to me and told me too. And so Betty began to wait. This was like August the 3rd when her mother was told. And she began to wait, but she was preparing. She was preparing. And she says, you know, Mama, I've not had anything but bedclothes to wear for a long time. All I've ever been dressed in because of how twisted my body is bedclothes. She says, when I'm healed, wouldn't it be good if I had a dress? And she says, you know, I've never walked, and wouldn't it be good if I had a pair of shoes? If you've never read the testimony, you need to read it. It's powerful. At August 24th, at about 2:30, people started arriving at her house because they began to tell people, today's the day, today's the day. Betty said, I was sitting there waiting in my little chair. She couldn't move. She was mostly paralyzed. Said, I was sitting back, and she says, all of a sudden I was in a forest. And she said, there were trees all around that were tall, but says one tree was bent way over. And she said, Jesus came walking through the trees. And Jesus walked right up to that poor bent tree. And she says, I heard it start to pop and to crack. And she said, he stood it right back up straight. And she says, I said, you can do that to me too. Well, long story short, she was totally healed that day, made complete and whole and well. 15 years she had been like that, and God healed her. But the point that I want to make was, she was preparing. I said, she was preparing to be healed. See, a lot of people would say, well, you know, let's wait. In fact, probably your dad might have. I think he said something like that to the mom when she went to buy the dress. Why don't we wait and see what happens? But the mom said, no, we're preparing. We're getting ready. Are you getting ready for the glory of God? Are you looking for it? Are you believing? Are you believing? See, I want it not a religious thing. I want something powerful, something real. I want God to make himself so real to me that it's just like when I walk over here by my new friends. We're close, side by side. That's the way I want to be with Jesus all the time. Just aware of that. Sit down, just say, oh, Lord, how you doing? Wow. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. See, we can have that kind of relationship. But you got to get ready for it. You got to get ready for it. I don't think there's anything wrong with physically acting out things that you see. You ever crawl up in Jesus' lap? Act it out sometime. Just go over someplace, maybe kneel down, and then just climb up into his lap. Let him hold you. He'll stroke your head. He loves you. He wants to make himself real to those that will love and obey. You know, we can't manufacture the presence of God. If I could, boy, I'd do it. Man, if I could make it come on my terms, wow, you walk in here and, ooh, boy, it would be so good. But I can't do that. But we can believe for it. That's what he said. We can pray for it. We can confess it. We can say that it's on its way. I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe that we'll see it soon. You remember what the disciples on the road to Emmaus were doing when they were walking along after Jesus had come out of the tomb? You remember the disciples? How many remember that story? They're walking along together. They're on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking. And what are they doing? While they're walking, what are they doing? Who remembers? They're talking about the Lord. They're talking about the things that have happened. They're talking about the Lord. That's their conversation. It's all about Him and what happens while they're walking. He showed up. We sometimes forget they were talking about Him. You remember the upper room? They were in the upper room after the resurrection and they were talking about Him and talking about Him, and all of a sudden He's there in their midst and had come through locked doors. They were talking about Him and He showed up. He showed up. That's what we need to be doing. Talk about the Lord, talk about His Word, talk about His glory. When? When you lie down, when you rise up. Amen? When you go out and when you come back. Talk about the Word, talk about the Lord, talk about Him. We used to go to Denver, I don't know if Kathleen can remember it or not, but we used to go to Denver, and a lot of times on our trips to Denver in the car, we'd talk about Jesus. We'd talk about Him. We'd be talking about the Lord, we'd be singing songs about Him, we'd just be talking about Him. We had some glorious trips to Denver. Good times, from up here, you know, driving over the mountains. And that's what parents ought to be doing with their little children, talking about the Lord. Talking about Him. You don't have to get theological, just talk about Him. Talk about how good He is. Talk about what He wants to do in their lives. Talk about the blessing of the Lord. And this is supposed to be the focus of the vision for this congregation, amen? You say, how do you know that? Because the Lord told me this is the focus of our vision. And I believe that everybody that comes into a church ought to be set in a church. I believe God wants to set the members in the church as it pleases Him. And so there's a lot of people around that are looking for the glory of God. And I believe those people are going to really feel comfortable coming into this place. Amen? Because that's the focus of our vision right now. We still have outreach, don't get me wrong. We believe in outreach. We believe in teaching. We believe in preaching. But I'm telling you, the focus right now is the glory of the Lord. And the cloud, I see in my spirit, has settled there. And I'm going to stay there until He tells me to move somewhere else. Till He picks up and goes somewhere else. The focus of this vision is the glory in the temple. And where's the temple? In us. In us. Don't you know that you're the temple? 1 Corinthians 3:16. So what place are we preparing today? We're preparing for manifestation. What place is that? Get it prepared. Get it prepared. Make it a place where everything that we do is welcoming to the presence of God. Another thing to remember about this is Isaiah 42:8. He says, I am Yahweh, that is my name. That's what He said. He didn't say, my name is Lord. He said, my name is Yahweh. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Again, in Isaiah 48:11, He said, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it, for how should my name be polluted? I'll not give my glory unto another. And again in 1 Corinthians 1:29, the Scripture says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Why do we bring this up? Because when we don't know what to do, sometimes we do the wrong thing. I've seen people get uncomfortable in services, especially in quietness. Sometimes the Lord moves in quietness. And people get uncomfortable in quietness and somebody wants to jump up and say something. Sometimes quietness is the manifestation of God. And sometimes when we manifest something that's not part of glory, it quenches the Spirit of God. Worst case scenario, we read about what happened in Leviticus 9:22. When the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, all the people saw it and they shouted and fell on their faces, and right then, there was no one but God in the center. Think about it. God comes down to this altar and in fire and just picks the offerings right up, consumes them. Now that's a manifestation, isn't it? But you remember there were two preachers there that day, sons of Aaron. Their name was Nadav and Abihu. And they said, wow, look at the glory. Hey, we're priests. We ought to get in on this. And so they grabbed their fire pans. And they ran out there right in the middle of everything. And it's kind of like saying, look what we did. We had part of this. We've become the center of attention. What did they really become? Keith Moore says they became crispy critters. They were gone just like that. They died right in the presence of God because they didn't honor the presence of God and let the glory of God be to him and to him alone. We see the same thing with Moses in Numbers chapter 20. God tells Moses, the people need water, Moses. They're complaining for water. Moses has had it. But God says, you just go over there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk up to the rock and I want you to say, rock, give water. Speak to the rock, rock. What did Moses do? Have you ever thought what he did before he hit it? He said, you stinking rebels. We used to have a guy here, we kid, you know, about the repent ye snakes kind of ministry, you know, and burning, you know, and that kind of thing. And I got to thinking about it. You know, sometimes that's the way we get. You know, we get where we get so aggravated at people because they're not responding. We start fussing at them and fuming at them. Moses began to fume. And he says, you stinking rebels, must we give you water? Who's going to give them water? We? You got a rock in your pocket, Moses? You see, God said, I'll not share my glory. Now, we look at that, and sometimes it's almost humorous the way it happened, but think about it. What it meant to Moses. What was Moses born for? What was his destiny? What? The promised land. You know, a lot of people would just say, oh, his destiny was to lead the people out. No, no. His destiny was to lead the people in. Leading them out was necessary to get them in. But Moses' destiny was the promised land. And to go into the promised land, that was the thing he lived for 120 years, was to go into that promised land. God saved him from crocodiles in the Nile River, didn't he? God protected him and actually put him in Pharaoh's house because he had a destiny. He had a plan for him. The plan was the glory. And Moses missed the glory. He missed the very thing that God had called him for because then Moses smote that rock, not once, because I believe the first time he smote it, nothing happened. But he smote it the second time. And you remember God had already said, I'm going to give him water. So God went ahead and poured the water out. The people needed the water. But he told Moses right away after that. In fact, the words that he said are powerful words. By the way, I know my shoe's untied, so if any of you have noticed and it's making you distracted, just forget it. If I trip and fall down, you can just say, wow, there's the glory of God, you know. Numbers 20, verse 12, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and he said, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I've given them. How many of you ever thought, man, he should have given Moses at least one chance more? You ever think that? You know, that's kind of the flesh way of thinking, isn't it? That if God really, really, really loved him like he said he did, he'd have given him another chance. Did you know it's serious to take glory from God? Say it's serious. It's a serious thing. If we take the glory, it's serious. And that's what happened. In fact, in Deuteronomy 3:26, Moses came back to God one final time. Remember what he said? He asked him, Lord, couldn't you just let me go in? Couldn't you just let me take this people in? And God was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, and listen, when God says this, you better listen. He said, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Don't even talk about it anymore because you're not going in. Did he go in? No. Did God hate him? No. But God won't share his glory. Are we getting ready? We're not going to take any glory from God, are we? Let's prepare our hearts. When God moves, it's not time for us to jump up and speak. It's not time for us to exert influence. It's not, you know, somebody's always coming to me with some new idea. Well, you know, I've visited this congregation and they do this. You know, sometimes I feel blessed that I don't live in the middle of other congregations. I like to visit them from time to time. But I want to tell you, other ideas are not what God wants. God doesn't want a bunch of clone churches. He wants churches doing what He called them to do. Led by the Spirit of God, doing the things that He did. People send out these things, here's how to grow your church in 30 days. Man, I wouldn't read one of those things for a nickel. Really? I don't care about that. That's a man plan. I don't want a man plan. I want a God plan. Amen. If God doesn't grow the church, I'd rather have a small church. Amen? I'd much rather have a bunch of hearing sheep than a bunch of button goats. And I've been to churches where most of the people acted like goats. Aren't you glad you come to this church? Because you see here, you've come in here, and I know your sheep. Amen. Praise God. Let the fullness of God manifest in our midst, Father. Let's let humility take over. Praise God. I've got to finish. I've just got to stop it today because I could just go on and on. Let's stand up. God made me, I guess, some people would call it obstinate. I hope it's not obstinate with Him ever at any time, but you know, I've never known how to quit something once I start it. If I start it, I'm going to finish it. That's the way I feel. And sometimes when I start preaching, some of you think I'm never going to quit, right? I just want to keep going because there's more. And you see, there's so much to bring out. Do you get how rich this is and how wonderful it could be? Praise God. But we don't want just what I want. We want what God wants. Amen? Are you okay?
Oh, this is me. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Yeah, praise God. Yeah. You need prayer, don't you?
No.
Praise God.
I'm fine.
Would you receive a healing if it came from the Lord?
You know, did the thorn get removed from the paw?
You know, it did.
Peter?
It was Paul, but he actually...
Well, Paul.
Do you remember? Here's how we know that.
Yeah.
Paul said, I asked him three times, and you know what the Lord said? He said, Paul. He said, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, what did that mean? Did that mean suffer?
No,
but that's the way we interpret it.
But I'm not suffering.
We interpret that Paul had to put up with it. Here's what God said. He said, use that grace that I've given you and cast that thing down. And Paul said later on, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit to just minister to my sister. Minister to her today, Lord. Open the eyes of her heart to receive all of the riches of God. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Lift your hands up in the air and let's praise the Lord. Let's thank Him right now that His healing power is mighty here to save and deliver, to heal. His mighty power is here today. You know, the greatest miracle that happens is when people get changed on the inside. That changing goes on and we get changed not just in our physical bodies, not just in our monetary systems and things like that, but when we get changed to where our minds become open to the things of God and the power of God, where our hearts filled up with Him. And Father, today that's what I pray for this congregation, that the mighty move of Your Spirit would fill every temple. Lord, these are Your living stones built up into a holy house for You. And so right now, in the name of Yeshua, just manifest Your might and Your presence and Your power right now to set free. From the top of the head to the soles of the feet, every idle thought that's been inside of us, anything that is hindering or hurting, Lord, cleanse us of that. And I pray, Father, today that You'll do such a work to draw by Your Spirit, Father, that people will not be able to get You out of their mind. That the very essence of them will be thinking about Jesus and walking with Jesus, hearing His voice, being led by the Spirit, knowing the truth. And walking in freedom. We thank You for it, Father. We praise You for it. For my people are a people of humility. My people are a people who hear my voice. My people are a people that are led by the Spirit of God. My people are a people that walk with me, and I walk with them, and I talk with them, and they hear my voice and the voice of another. They will not hear, for I, the Lord God, am their maker. I am their sustenance. I am all that they need, and they will walk with me, and they will be led. Yes, they will walk forth, and they will be mighty, and they will do exploits, and they will share my name, and they will talk in the presence of people, and people will hear. People will hear. And people will hear. Yes, you've spoken before and you felt that people have not heard your voice, but as you walk forth from this place, as you go forth from this place and you speak my word, people will hear and they will come unto me. Father, we thank you today. Oh, we bless you today. We honor you today. We bless you and praise you today. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here today that you're not going to just say, I'm not just asking for someone that's never made Jesus Lord of their life, but you'd say to me, you know, Pastor, I do love the Lord. I love Him. I love Him and I acknowledge Him, but I know that there is a deeper place of love that I'm walking. And you'd just put your hand up today and say, I want that deeper place of love. I want to walk in a depth of love. Oh, I see hands everywhere. That's what it ought to be. Man, you ought to have such a desire for this that there be nothing else that you could imagine that would be as good as this. Nothing else but to walk with Him. Be led by Him. Some of you would not raise your hand right then because you were afraid I was going to call you up. And the Holy Spirit right now is sending a chastening to you, and you know that you've done the wrong thing. You've thought the wrong thing. And you shouldn't be that way. The Holy Spirit wants you to know you need to be ready and willing and open. Remember that obedience is only obedience when it's immediate. Obedience delayed is disobedience. I want to ask you again, is there anybody here today that you put your hand up and say, I just want more. I want more of the love of God. Put your hand right up in the air. I want more of His love flowing through my life. I don't want anything to come between me and the presence of God. Oh, yeah, 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 that's it. That's it. If you mean that, people, I want you to know there's something starting here today. There's something that's starting in your preparation today that's going to make you ready for a greater measure of glory than you've ever known before. You begin to look for it. You begin to think about it. It's going to begin to happen. And all around you, you're going to start to see things change. Things are going to change. Things are going to change in relationships. You're going to find that the way you respond to people is different because the glory of the Lord is working in you. Some of the big problems in your life are going to start to look minuscule. They're going to be small. They're going to be something that you're going to wonder why they've been such a major focus in your life. Because you're going to yield them over to the Father, and the Father's going to take care of them for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you so much. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him. Let's just thank Him that He's heard our prayers. Let's just thank Him that He's walking with us and in us. Thank Him that He never leaves us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. Hallelujah. While your hands are in the air, I'm going to speak over you the Aaronic blessing. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panava lecha v'ganecha. Yis Adonai panava lecha v'yasim lecha shalom. And now may Yahweh bless you. Bless you. Bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everybody that received it said,
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.